morning, friends. Happy to be here again this morning to in the service of the Lord. And a little bit tired, as the saying, it was not, I guess I had the flu too, but I was just overworked. I had 5 weeks straight, and it kind of run my resistance down, although it never kept me from getting fat. I just keep getting fatter all the time. But most of my last meeting was more or less in just preaching, you see. And so, we had quite a few healing services, but most was in the preaching service. We're indeed grateful for this privilege of being here today to serve the Lord, to be in the tabernacle, to be with Brother Neville here again. Had such a wonderful introduction, and makes you feel better. If you're feeling bad, that would make you feel good, wouldn't it? Just know that people like you. Don't you just like for somebody to like you? I do. One night I was walking out of the tabernacle here. Now, I hope they're not on the recordings of these yet, but I was walking out of the tabernacle here a few years ago, and some lady met me back there. She said, "Oh, Brother Bill," she said, "that sure was a good message." I said, "Thank you, sister. Oh, it made me feel good, you know." Walked the door, and some fellow there said, "You know, I wouldn't put up with that." And I said, "Why?" Said, "Oh, I don't want nobody to brag on me or say something." I say, "Just, I do, see." I said, "Just one difference between you and I'm telling the truth, you see." That's right. It really makes anyone, someone tells you appreciate it, the efforts that you make, it makes you feel a lot better about it, doesn't it?
Amen.
Now, today, I'd like to make this announcement. If Brother Neville and the congregation be pleased with the good Lord, I've tried it for about 7 or 8 years and succeeded twice. I would like to have a regular healing service next Sunday morning, if we could. Just a regular healing service. And we tried it several times, and it succeeded here one night. We had one. And the Lord was so good to us, He let a... There was the papers rolled it up, and there was a girl here in the wheelchair, been in here for a long time, the only wheelchair we had in the building, I believe, and she'd been something wrong with her, and she neglected something, a call from the Lord, and told her 17 years or something she'd been in this wheelchair, and right here, when he packed her wheelchair up here and set her down, she got right up and walked out of the building, a normal, whole woman. Had a man laying here on the platform, as the paper said, was just a shadow of a man. And the Lord healed him. He had walked, and I don't know how long, he got up and walked away. Then one night down at the high school we had down there, and the Holy Spirit came down, and we had a regular healing service, and so they... I believe there's some of them here. I believe Sister Rooks, I believe that was the night of her healing. I'm not mistaken. Was there. And many things has taken place during that time since some healing services. Now, we've tried 2 or 3 different times to have it. It's not very often. This being my home. Anyone knows what the Scripture says about being in your home and among your people and so forth. It's kind of odd. It just doesn't work like it should work, you see. And am I doing something wrong, Brother Bill? Am I all right? Okay. Now, when in these services, now if the Lord, how many would like to see a real healing service here at the tabernacle? My, that would you pray for it?
Yeah.
Now I had Leo and Jean; they were here somewhere. I was going to give them some cards this morning, and then I thought, well, they come down and give out the prayer cards and line up a prayer line, and then I got so awfully tired, and well, I thought I'd just better come down and speak a little while today, and then start next Sunday morning. How about a sunrise service?
Yes.
A sunrise service. That began from 5 to 6 o'clock, I believe, or something like that, isn't it? from 5. What time does the sun rise? 6 o'clock? Or it ought to be from 5 until 6 then. That would be an hour of worship. See? That ain't going to hurt you to get up that early. Catholics get up every morning, Sunday morning like that, and go to church. And Protestants ought to be willing to do it once a year, don't you think? It's sunrise. Now, it's not... I'm just going to speak a few moments, and then it's a worship service. Then hurry right on home, and you eat your breakfast. I won't. Then I'll maybe stay at the church. Then, if the Lord willing, now Brother Neville will announce it on his program next Saturday if it continues that way. He'll be on the program next Saturday morning between 9 and 9:30. I think that's right. On WLRP out of New Albany. And then we may put a little piece in the paper, too, of the Jeffersonville New Albany paper, which many of our people come from these sections. It'll be next week, along Friday or Saturday's paper. And then we would like to come down, and then after that, then I'll have the boys to come down and give out the prayer cards for you at 9 o'clock, just at 9. And that'll let everything get quietened down by 9:30, and then I'll come out of the room and we'll start, have a Sunday morning or Easter sunrise, this regular sermon, and then start a prayer line. And then it'll be decided this week or not. They've got some people here that's candidates for water baptism. And Easter, I think, is one of the most marvelous times for baptism. And we'll either have it Easter right immediately after the healing service or either that night. Baptismal service. And it'll mean a full day next Sunday. So be in prayer. And we're very grateful to the Lord. Just a little report now about the meeting. I heard brothers saying you all were praying. I certainly depend on that. My. When I see times are going real contrary, then I just think, well, somewhere there's somebody praying. And that encouraged me then to move up and go on. And I had the best healing service I ever had on the North America continent was in this last service. Brother Gene and Leo were out there at the time. The boy sitting here is on the Apache Indian Reservation. They gave me one day to rest, and I took it. I went up to the Indian Reservation. I had the biggest meeting I ever had, or the best. And just one of the little sentiments that stuck with me so greatly was coming through the prayer line while the boys was out there, and they taking my camera and their cameras, getting all the pictures they could. And I guess there had been 35 or more visions out there. And you'd speak to the people, and they just couldn't. They don't respond like us because they can't speak and they can't the interpretation. They don't have no written language, and it's kind of a hard. They don't have no sentences, and the Apaches, and they just start and just anything. So it's a group of words, and it's kind of hard to make them understand. Some of them can't understand English. The first vision I remember was the lady with her baby, and the baby was blind. And it told her what was Mary's Bokomi, which is very familiar among the Indians, very much of it, rather, among the Indians. And when the lady got into the line, her little baby was healed.
Amen.
And then coming along, the first thing come, I think, was about four or five mutes, deaf, dumb people. Lord healed every one of them. And then they're just simple. Just as simple. They don't try to figure out anything. They just believe you. Then you've got to instruct them right on the Lord. See, not on yourself, because that won't work. But it's got to be on the Lord. And when they really see it, it's just like a bunch of children. Just tell them to go do something. They do it.
Amen.
And down along the road, there was a beautiful little Indian princess about so high. Little black eyes, just as pretty and bright, but just as blind as midnight. And Brother Marshall, the Indian missionary up there, he told me, he said, when you come down the line, bring her into the line. He said, "Brother Branham, she's blind." I said, "Those lovely big eyes, great big pretty dark eyes." Said, "Yes, she just is blind. She can be, Brother Branham." And I waved my hand across her eyes like that, and she drew her eyes a stare. She couldn't see. Well, I prayed for the little thing and started. I looked, moved my hand again, and her eyes were still just staring. I thought, "Oh my, those poor little feller, just about that high, blind," and didn't know that her daddy next to her there was blind too. So something happened that I guess I've never seen it before. It wasn't Brother Neville a vision like you would see, but it looked like it. I could see myself taking this little thing up before the throne of God, up there before God, and saying to God, "Father, this poor little girl, she's blind." And applying the blood of the Lord Jesus to the child. Then when she was set down, and Brother, I had my finger up like this, I said, "Brother Marshall, something happened." Then I said, "It looked like I see myself going up through the skies with that child with a hand." And I was moving like this, was talking, and I looked at those big eyes following my hand, going like that. There she was, with perfect, normal eyesight.
Amen.
And they passed her through the line. I guess the doctors or some of them down there, this bunch of well-dressed men standing out there. I seen them fooling with her, you know, trying to get her, look at her fingers, motion to follow her. And just, I said, "Just go ahead and examine her. She's all right." And there she was, normal and well.
Amen.
The next was her daddy, and he was blind. And God gave him his eyesight back normal again, and right on the ground. Just wonderful how our Lord Jesus will do.
Amen.
Now, those things doesn't lay with man, do they? They lay with God.
Amen.
I don't know whether Brother Cox and Brother Joseph sent down the Herald of Faith yet. We haven't got it that roll. Sir? You'll get it pretty soon. This case here on the front of it is a lady that was turned down the mails. And how the Lord told her where she was and how she'd been, what had taken place. And Mayo said she just couldn't live. And he told her, "You see her stretcher laying there, that he just got right up and's gone home and just as normal and well as she can be." And on the next page is a very striking little article, "Born Blind." I just might read, but be all right just to read this little paragraph here. It won't take this long. "My son was born blind. He and I both were 100% toxin. And as far as our doctor knows, there has never been another case blind. He had what they call dry eyes. He never cried a tear up until the time Reverend Branham prayed for him. And as Brother Branham held him and prayed, the tears run down Brother Branham's arms. And from that very time, he can see. Turned his little head, and when he saw the people, he didn't know what it was all about. He'd never seen his life. I took him from the church over to his mother's and laid him on the bed, and he took his looked all around the room and started playing with his rattler. I had an appointment to take him to Mayo's at Rochester, Minnesota. The following week, I kept that appointment and took him. They could find nothing wrong with his eyes. They told me that he had a good and perfect set of eyes. I took Johnny down to the doctor's office to show him what had happened, because the doctor was inquiring for a place to put him in a blind school for his life.
Amen.
How the Lord Jesus made that little boy, you know what a mother and father both toxin usually, or mother and child, one of them dies or sometimes both. But little Johnny was born and his eyes were dry, just hard and dry. And while I held the little fellow in my arms, I felt something warm and the tears run off his little face and run down my arm like this. And he's looking at me, his little old bright eyes. And he's had his perfect sight since then.
Amen.
Male brothers have said his eyes were normal. Isn't he wonderful?
Yes.
We just love him. Now, you pray this week that God will help us, and next Sunday morning, the Lord willing, at 5 to 6 o'clock, will be a sunrise service. Come out, and then we'll just stay at the hour, and as soon as the sun rises, we'll give God praise for what he did some 2,000 years ago, rose up Jesus Christ at the rising of the sun. And we're looking for another sun rising, the coming of the Lord Jesus the second time in glory. And then then at 9 o'clock, we will, the boys will be here to give out the prayer cards, and at 9:30, Sunday school will start. Now, if you got loved ones, get them in and get into the cards. Then I want to come down. I want to take Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, if the Lord willing, and just fast and pray. And ask him to give me at least one more healing service here at the tabernacle next Sunday.
Amen.
Lord willing. Then we'll see if he doesn't. Well, of course, I can't help that. But we'll pray and try to see if he will.
That'll
give us the healing service. And then the baptismal service, and all you who are candidates for baptism now and has never been baptized, well, we'd be glad to have you come, believing on the Lord Jesus and confessing your sins and being baptized next Sunday. And Brother Neville will announce the full program on his broadcast next Saturday morning. How many hear the broadcast? Don't you think it's fine? I tell you, that singing's really good. I heard Brother Temple, I believe, on it the other day. And I appreciate that song you dedicated to us. We was all listening in. And this morning we didn't think we'd get to come. Oh, our little girl had a raging fever last night. My, she was up all night long screaming and going on, little Sarah. And I wanted to come so bad, and I went over to the bed this morning before, just put on my robe and walked over to the bed, and the poor little thing lay there just a burning with a fever. I laid my hands down on a little fellow, and I said, "Dear God, I want to go to church, and I'll take her with me. So, fever, you can't hold her any longer. Come out of her." There she sits back there, just normally quiet as she can be, you see. He's wonderful, isn't he? I have a good friend here this morning. I know he's a little bashful, backward, but he's one of my brothers, and he become my fellow worker and buddy with me off of the great Alaskan highway in Alaska. I was having meetings for him to have again in a few days now at Grand Prairie. And I was at Dawson Creek, British Columbia, and then down to Grand Prairie. And a little fellow stepped in one time to the meeting there, and God got a hold of him. He had to come back. And he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if he will be so kind, just at least stand up, Brother Fandler, just let the people know he's from Switzerland. And he's the Lord bless you, Brother Fandler. Glad to have him with us today. He's the one that has got this famous drug that will be on the market pretty soon, which will sweep the world, a cure for arthritis. The Lord gave it to him. And they've got it in now, the government and so forth, and it's the arthritis cure. Given by the Lord God alone. Amen. Tell him what to do. There's not a thing on the market will touch arthritis until this time. But now the Lord has given it to Brother Family, and we're happy for it. With us over in a Christian businessman a few days ago in Los Angeles, where they also, God's just working wonderfully amongst Christians. Our little brother that all of us know real well, or as far as us here, Brother Sakarian, just a marvelous brother. And the Lord invented something by him. Just show you how God is getting it out. A little thing that he puts out on his stomach like this and holds out like this and can find oil down in the... And found a gusher in Colorado, a $25 million outfit, I guess. Just that one gusher turns every bit over to send missionaries to the foreign field.
Amen.
That's what Brother Fandler's doing with his. It'd be millions of dollars in a year. And besides that, just all this brother invented this here thing to take blood where you could only keep it so long. Now, these are Holy Ghost men. Do you know what? In our White House, 40% of our men in office are Pentecostal. Amen. They're Pentecostal background. Oh, my. Nations are breaking. Israel awakening.
Amen.
And they can. These brother has found a farmer that will dehydrate blood and keep it indefinite. And they got a $1 million plant. Just put it up. Oh, how the Lord is a blessing everywhere. See what's going to happen? He's swiftly sending these Holy Ghost messengers out into all parts of the world now, for the time is at hand. We're there. Not to pass out tracts, which tracts is ever so good, but to bring the message of divine deliverance to those captives who are sitting in darkness.
Amen.
We love him. All right. Now, we'll read the scripture right quick. And remember now, next Sunday, Lord willing, remember tonight is communion night, I believe he said, and Wednesday night, midweek prayer meeting, everybody invited to hold these services. Next Sunday morning, 5 to 6 on sunrise, and 9 o'clock to begin our services for, or 9:30 rather, for the Sunday morning service, and then the healing service and baptismal service. Now let's turn in the blessed old. Before we do this, let's just sing. Where's Sister Gertie at? She was up here a few moments ago. Would you come back just a moment? And I'll try not to keep you but just about a half hour if I can on a lesson this morning. Let's sing just one chorus of this marvelous old song, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. How many knows it? Is it in the hymn or do you know?
Tell you, 11 years since Sunday morning,
our innermost beings today, our hearts are overrun with joy when we think that someday this old earthly tabernacle that we're now dwelling in, like the cage that holds a bird, this lump of clay, our souls will take its flight like the bird from the cage someday to the arms of its lover. When we see you coming, this robe of flesh will drop and rise. Our faith looks to thee today now. Forgive us for all that we have done, all the sins and trespasses. Pray that you'll settle down over us now. Come into our hearts. Bless us and take the word of God, and give it to every heart just as we have need of it today. And we'll give thee the praise for it. We ask it in his name. Amen. Turn quickly now to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. And we're going to speak this morning, God willing, upon fellowship by redemption. Now, in Hebrews 9, everyone, it's got your Bibles. I'd like to study with us just for a little bit. I like the word. You know, faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word of God. But Christ being come the light and the high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And in Job, the 19th chapter, and the 23rd, 24th, and 25th verses, we read this, speaking of redemption. Paul here in Hebrews telling us who was our Redeemer, how that by one offering he made and perfected forever those that enter in by him. Now in the 23rd verse, Job speaking said, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know my Redeemer liveth. In the last days he'll stand up on the earth. And though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, mine eyes shall behold, and not another. Though my reins be consumed within me." May the Lord add his blessings to his word. Speaking of redemption and fellowship, and there's many times as we look and see that the us, the mortal beings of this earth, how that we become tossed about and strayed around across the world. I don't believe there's anybody that's got a Christian spirit could look upon the world today and wouldn't groan in their spirit. I've often wondered how that people today take this life so lightly. It's not nothing lightly. This is the very reason we're put here on earth, is to worship and come to God and to come into his fellowship and to see man wandering around as if they didn't have any God, as there was no God. Man has driven himself out in that kind of a condition. And I'm believing that the day that we're living now, the most essential thing that I could think of any minister speaking of is to get the people back to the general principles of the gospel. Coming back to a place, for if you're not built up on the right foundation, it's no good. What's the use of building up on a foundation that's already been condemned? What's the use, as I say, of trying to... What would be the use of trying to paper and paint an old building that the government had condemned? And that's what many people are trying to do today by reforming. Trying to reform. We'll start a church and we'll turn a page and we'll try to do a little different than we used to do. You'll never get nowhere like that. Amen. It's just foolish to even try.
Amen.
See, you're just only wasting time. You say, "Well, I believe if I would just quit my lying and stealing and all those things, as good as they are, you're still a million miles off of the road. You've got to start back to the foundation. You got to build a new place. Not patch up the old one, build a brand new one. You got to come back. Start right." That's the reason you see so many faulty mistakes. So many people indifferent. People who profess Christianity. You know, this is kind of a little bit hard. But you are the only Bible that many people will ever read. You Christians. Your life is the only Bible that man, a lot of men and women will ever read. Just the way you act and do.
Amen.
So Christians are supposed to be a living example of what Christ is.
Amen.
And if Christ is in the human heart, then he'll certainly live his own life.
Amen.
For Christ is in you, and the Spirit of Christ be in you, then you become a new creature. Now, I love to think that Christians everywhere, if every person that called on the Lord Jesus would live just exactly the Christian life, while this would be a converted world in the next 24 hours.
Amen.
It certainly would be. The Bible said that you are the salt of the earth. And the salt can only save when it comes in contact with the spoiling earth.
Man.
The earth is spoiling, rotten, and you know that. And the salt must come in contact with the earth, or if it don't, it'll be gone. Now, some weeks ago in Chicago, I was so thrilled when I seen, you know, where God's Word was proven to be the truth. Man and women must come back to the Word. I spent practically all my time in California after seeing so many cults arising, so many indifferent things, so much stuff that wasn't of God. And I'm not here today to criticize anyone. I'm only here to try and preach the gospel. But when you see so many things rise up under flattery and ministries built on personalities, then you're going to be sitting on sinking sand.
Man.
A ministry must be built totally and wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible, no matter what, any new thing comes up. Here a few days ago, Brother Moore, one of my associates, his son was given a degree of doctor in science. And when this great science came down from Washington to give him this degree, after he embraced him in his arms, he said, "Son, in Washington, D.C., on the latest science, there's 124 scientific proven facts about modern science." He said, "If I should take you up there, it would take you 2 years to read through those books constantly every day." And said when he got through the 24 books of them, or the 124 books, he said, "The next thing you do, you'd have to forget every bit of it because they done found something new that'll outdo that." When he said that, I thought, but praise be to God, I know a book that's been here through the thousands of years. It'll never alter, or nothing will ever be added to it. It's the book of all the books. All the other books run around through circles not knowing where they are. And if they want facts, they have to come back to this Bible to get it.
Amen.
This is God's book. Only book. Now, how we praise the Lord for this great, marvelous book. And in that contains the will of God, the promise of God, and it's the book of all the books. All the books fail, all the other books vanish away, their knowledge is gone, but this book contains the eternal truth of God. Therefore, what the Bible says, you can say amen to it. Some time ago, when I went to school as a little boy, they used to tell me that the sun shining on the stars made them lights. They changed that now. Can't do it. I was in the planetarium the other day at Mount Palmer at Los Angeles, up on the hill, the world's greatest planetarium. Is that where the God going through? He said they used to think that a few years ago, but they find out every star makes its own light. Gone. Sun couldn't travel that far between them. They used to tell me that the world turned around the sun and the sun stood perfectly still. You fellows of my age, you were taught that. They changed that. Now the sun runs. See? They just don't know. That's it. And here's the only book that does know. Now the things that they've been scrumbling over for 6,000 years, Joshua commanded the sun to stand still like the Bible said, and it was so.
Man.
See? It'll all come back to here. Everything comes back to the Bible. Not long ago, science made fun of man. When in the Bible, and the Bible said your whole body's full of life. Science said your body full of light. Who ever heard of such? It can't be. No light in your body. But they find out that's wrong. They've been in an X-ray. And the X-ray takes your own light meters. It don't take any other light. Your own light makes the X-ray. The X-ray doesn't have any light of its own. It's your light that takes the picture, the light that's in your body. So God was right after all. You know what they said there? God made a mistake when he said a man thinketh with his heart. There's no such a thing as the old mental faculties in a man's heart that he can think with. It's his mind that he thinks with. But no more than about 2 months ago, they found out God was right. They went to fooling in the human heart, and they find a little bitty compartment in there that hasn't even got a blood cell around it or nothing. It isn't in the animal heart or the bird heart or no other heart but the human heart. A little bitty place, and it's called the occupation of the soul. So God does stay right. It's in the heart, man thinking. Now, man can have an intellectual faith. And there's where most people get today, calling themselves Christians. The reason you see such carrying on as you do under the name of Christianity, it's only intellectual faith. What do you mean by intellectual faith, brother? This is it. Man believeth unto salvation. Now, faith cometh by hearing of the Word. Now, I could preach the Word. You could accept it. Say, that's all right. Yep, I believe that. Well, if that's all the farther ever goes, then you'll never get very far with God. Intellectual faith, that's the reason people don't get healed, is because they only have an intellectual view of it, what their mind can see. But the mind will reason. The mind will say, it cannot be. I am no better. My sense of sight says that my arm's no straighter than it was yesterday. My sense of feeling says I don't feel any different than I did yesterday. Reasoning, mental theology will reason out and say, now, wait a minute, I believe that's foolishness. See, your reasoning, that intellectual faith will do that. But when once that faith comes down into that compartment down here, it'll never question this up here at all. It's absolutely a fact, and it'll agree with every divine word of God.
Amen.
There's the reason people doesn't get where they should be. It becomes a mental conception of God. But when that mental conception, you believe him by an intellectual faith, but that won't do it. It's got to be a born-again experience where your faith is brought down into this compartment here, and no matter what it looks like, faith says it so anyhow.
Amen.
See? Now, man once was made, even in our polluted condition that we are today, man was made to serve God. That's his full duty on the earth.
Amen.
Here the great wisest man, Solomon, and all the rest of them speaking in the Ecclesiastes. He said, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the full duty of man.
Amen.
That's the full duty of man. We wonder why we're running along here, men and women. Why do we wear clothes and have to strive? And animals don't. God feeds us the little birds and takes care of everything else, but we have to shift for ourselves. It's because sin separated us from our Maker. That's what did it. Now, man, as he's moving along, you don't see the animal embedding himself. He can't embed himself. If he gets any better treatment, it's got to come from some other source. He doesn't build himself a better house. He doesn't make himself fried meat where he used to eat it raw, see? It has to be done because there's nothing in him to give him a soul. An animal doesn't have a soul, but a man has a soul. And therefore, that soul is a part of God. and even in its fallen state, yet it's the most greatest species of all the species of the earth, is the man. And then get him in connection with his maker, he becomes a superman almost, because he's the Son of God. He becomes acquainted with his maker, with the creator of all things. And then when that man there, acquainted with his maker, becomes a part of his maker, becomes back into fellowship with his maker, every divine word becomes a living reality to him. And he believes it. No wonder people can't believe divine healing today. They haven't got nothing to believe with. Until God comes into the human heart, a man is not much better than a brute. His reason, he'll think it all out. How can this be? And explain it all away. But when God ever takes his position in the human heart, all the reasons fade away. God becomes first. Amen. Now, in the beginning, when God made the man to worship him and live, God taking care of him, fed him, man had a perfect fellowship with God. There was nothing wrong. God came down in the evening and talked to Adam and Eve. What a beautiful picture. No harm. Nothing could harm them. No sickness could ever come to them. They didn't even know what sickness was. They didn't know what old age was. They didn't know what being hurt was. They couldn't be hurt. They was in the presence of the omnipotent powers of God, which helped them in control and guided them by His Spirit. There was nothing could harm them.
Amen.
If you'd ever think, I believe if this little group of believers this morning could ever one time lay aside every thought, get down to the fact to know that the great Jehovah God that created you in the beginning is in His position, place today here in this tabernacle at the heart of every believer. You believe it? Now, in the beginning when God come down in the evening and talked to the Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and His great voice whispered to them, and they had fellowship, love one another, how the moving of the Spirit went through the bushes, the lions come up, the tigers, all of them, and they worship the Lord. Man was conscious at all times that His presence was with him. Now listen, I want to tell you something, and listen close to it, at this remark. I'm going to be just a little bit different this morning. I'm going to let myself loose to some of my own theology, some of my own thoughts, my own conceptions of the Scripture that I've never said in this church before, or no other church. But I feel that it might be profitable this morning. Every man in his own heart has ideas and so forth that he believes and holds sacred into his heart, and secrets between him and God that no one else knows about but him and God alone. You know that. Every one of you believers know that. Just the believer and his maker alone. I've never believed that heaven was a place where there's a bunch of buildings, where there's a bunch of houses up there made with mortar, doped up with paper, paint on the wall. I've never believed that a supernatural being would have to live in a literal house.
No.
I believe when Jesus spoke in John 14, said, "In my Father's house is many mansions," He meant a body, a dwelling place. For the Scriptures verify the same thing to say, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting.
Amen.
You see it?
Amen. I believe it.
Mortal beings is the only one who lives in mortal habitations.
immortal beings live in immortal habitations.
Amen.
And the place that we go into until we return back is not a place of brick and mortar, clay or precious stones or jewels. It's a place of condition that we move out of this dimension that we live into another dimension. And it's a house, a tabernacle, a dwelling place. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. And they thought he was speaking of the Solomon's temple. But he was speaking of his own body. And he's gone to prepare a place for every believer. That the very moment we step out of these mortal regions, we don't go out into myth or some supernatural spirit. But we go into a tabernacle, a dwelling place, and that might be right here in this building this morning, in a place that no other radioactivity or nothing can touch. It's there solely fixed by God alone.
Amen.
Listen, Moses had been dead for 800 years. Elijah had been translated for around 600 or 700 years. And there they stood on Mount Transfiguration, both of them in their mortal looks, talking to Jesus just before he went to Calvary. See what I mean? Then what am I trying to say? That we are looking at some mythical something away off out under 100 million years? I got a revelation the other day standing up there on Mount Palmer at the observatory and seeing the time, the space, over to Mars and to the last continents and so forth, and life traveling at so many thousands miles per second. If an angel started from the farthest star and coming here, it would take him billions times billions times billions of years to get here. If he started from Mars and come here, flying at the speed of light speed, it would take him billions of years to get here. I cannot believe that there's a house way out yonder. But I believe that that house that God was speaking of is right present here now. That that's the place where the mortal beings, when we cease to be mortal here, we step into immortality yonder, into a place, and I believe that's where Jesus is today.
Amen.
The resurrected Lord Jesus, not out yonder somewhere a million miles away, but right here, present with us now. In the fourth dimension, people can prove that right through this room now is coming radio activity, radio messages. Coming right through this building now is coming television pictures. But it's too fast for our eyes. Now you go millions of miles beyond that dimension, and you'll get into a place that's just as real as television pictures is in this room this morning. There is the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of God, standing here. And the reason that you can't see Him is because our heart has become tuned down to it. And the reason we can't see the television pictures, where our bodies are not set as instruments to pick up mechanical sent things. But when our body becomes in tune with God, becoming a part of Him, then our soul can pick up the power of the Holy Spirit to vindicate the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His power and omnipotence. He has risen from the dead.
Amen.
He lives among us today. And He wants fellowship back with His people again. His great majesty, His glory is now spreading forth. And He's desiring to fellowship again with His people like He did in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
I know it's a long ways around, but I want to get this picture to you so you'll never forget it, no matter where you're at. If you're in the pool room, if you're in the gambling hall, there's somebody invisible watching you. If you're standing persecutions for the name of the Lord's sake, no matter what it is, mark anyone you wish to and watch. The man will reap what he sows every time. If he's doing wrong, he'll never get by with it. If he's doing right, he's got to come into glory with it.
Amen.
You just can't beat it. It's God. He surely knows the very depths of your heart. He knows who you are and everything you've done. In the meeting, sometimes I watch how all them visions become material. Oh, God, how can it be? When standing here a minute ago, stood a man with his arms folded looking to me, and I hear his voice talking to me and telling me things that's going to happen there that never fails.
Amen.
And yet he vanishes from me. And I know that there's a land beyond the river. There's a region yonder somewhere that the glorious persons of the great angels of God and his being are fellowshipping again.
Amen.
The fellowship.
Yeah.
God, back in the beginning, moved down and Adam and Eve's soul wasn't marred. They could hear the roars, see that beautiful light shining through the bushes yonder. It was Jehovah.
Amen.
Talking to them. Then sin separated them. They went off in sin. God had only one preparation for sinful man to reach a holy God. That wasn't by self-righteousness. It wasn't by patching up an old pain. It was by death and resurrection.
Amen.
The only way. God condemned the man in the Garden of Eden because he had sinned and his whole body was full of mire. And never can you ever turn a new page. Listen! I don't care how much you join church, how many good things you do, them's all fine. You buy the widow coal when she's cold. You buy her food when she's hungry. You take the little kids off the street. That's good! Nothing to say light of that. But my brother, sister, you're a miserable being until that old foundation is swept out altogether and you become a new creature in Christ Jesus in order that soul can be in contact with God for fellowship. You see it?
Yeah.
Then when you get into that wonderful, glorious fellowship of his being, all the little things just pass away. Oh, it seems so petty, so childlike. That's why we have the troubles. That's why you see professed Christians living this. Today they're all right, and tomorrow they're all wrong, and the next day it's because they've never tore the old foundation down. They've never built up on Christ. Now, notice him in his glory. Back then when he sinned, God felt so sorry for the poor fella. See him and Eve going away without going out of the fellowship. They had to shift for themselves. What could they do? They had a loving father who would take care of them. But now, through disobedience, cut off fellowship. No more fellowship. They had to make it for themselves. Had to till the soil and earn the living by the sweat of their brow. They had to get sick and die and all kinds of troubles and heartaches and disappointments. Why? Severed fellowship. No more fellowship with God. Couldn't be. That's where man stands today. That's the reason you see him on the street working on Sunday. That's the reason you see him out going fishing, hunting on Sunday. That's the reason you see him out here horse racing and automobile racing. Why you see him in pool rooms and dives and so forth. There's something in the man hungering for something and he can't find it. And this world can't produce it. And the church can't produce its own mental theology.
Amen.
They can't do it. A man's got to tear the old foundation down. And a man's got to be regenerated and born again and come back to God.
Amen.
Not turning new pages. You'll never do it. It might be good. I have nothing against it. The good works that you do, but that won't do it. Joining church won't do it. Taking your children to go to church won't do it. until it becomes an individual affair with you, until you become back into this fellowship, then we know we pass from death unto life, for our spirit bears record with His Spirit, that we're sons and daughters of God. All the old things has passed away, and all things become new. There we are. Oh, my. When I think of that, how little these little old things seem to be. My wife used to sing a song, "The sands has been washed in the footprints of the stranger from Galilee's shore. The voice that subdued the rough billows will be heard in Judea no more. But the path of that lone Galilean, so gladly I'll follow each day. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way." There's something beyond the veil that pulls the Christian. He can't explain. He doesn't understand it himself. But there's something in that fellowship that he has with Christ. Severing from there, he becomes a wanderer. That's the reason poor, wandering American people today, poor little fellers out on the street, young ladies, young man, no fellowship at all. They go to church, they can't receive it there because the church is just so formal and ritual.
Amen.
They can't find it there. And they go down to the pool rooms, they can't find it there. They go out to the beaches of pleasure, they can't find it there. Satan gets on them, strips their clothes and everything. They live in all kinds of adultery. Poor little fellows pull up in a meeting somewhere and say, "Oh, brother, I'll commit suicide." Can't find it? No. Sin separates a man from the fellowship. Now, friends, it's only one road back.
Amen.
I've seen many of them that could dance in the Spirit, that could speak with tongues, and could run all over the building and everything else, and still no fellowship. Just as miserable as they could be, because they built up on the wrong foundation. That's right. We got to get the right thing, the first thing first. If you don't, your whole starting's wrong. You got to get back to the foundation. Now let's find out what the foundation is. Then if we can find the foundation truly out of God's Word, then there's no question anymore. Just watch what happens.
Amen.
Now hear me, my brothers and sisters, in the Lord. There is only one foundation for fellowship. There's only one time, no one ground that God ever spread the welcome mat back to Adam's fallen race.
Amen.
Only one. That was in the Garden of Eden when he spread it back by the way of the shed blood.
Amen.
I believe in the blood.
Amen. Amen.
Not talk about it, I mean to worship in it.
Amen.
Now, when God made a reconciliation for Adam and Eve, he made it through the shedding of the blood of an innocent substitute. Through the shedding of the blood. Oh, today, the high formal churches have got blown away from it. Don't preach it at all.
Amen.
And they got some talking about politics and every little fang-dangle thing in the world. That's the formal churches. And the full gospel church has got up on so many isms. Little things that they ought to do this and little evidences and things that they got away from it. And the whole world is becoming a conglomeration of nonsense. That's right. It's a pitiful shape and a condition to look at unless God quickly does something. The whole thing's ruined. God sent us preachers today that'll stand on the foundation. Call out to the sinner man and woman. The way home's to the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. The only way. Not talk about it. I mean, get into it. God had the lamb slain, covered Adam and Eve with the skin, and shed the blood. A way back to fellowship again with God. Then Adam could only come back to God through the shed blood. Cain come out with Adam's first idea and made himself a religion by pinning fig leaves. Adam did over him and Eve, but they found out that it wasn't God's appropriated way. Therefore, they could not stand in his presence. And today we still use self-sufficiency.
Amen.
We use all the different ideas and vain philosophies
Amen.
Of man, and it's absolutely of naught.
Amen.
Jesus said, man worship me, teaching for doctrine the traditions of man.
Amen.
Worship in vain. You can worship the Lord and still not be worshipped in the right way. It would not be reckoned to you for reconciliation.
Amen.
Now, Tabernacle, I want you to think on this. Just not let it pass by and say, Brother Bill come in and said so-and-so. Take it in your heart.
Amen.
Ponder over it. Why do we have our ups and downs? Why does things go the way they're going? It's because first we got to get back to the foundation.
Amen.
Now, Adam thought surely if he discovered his nakedness, that way he'd be all right. Man think the same thing today. I'll go join church. Maybe a lot of people say, I want to be like the other, so I can clap my hands till I shout. Others say, I believe if I just spoke with tongues a little bit, I'd be all right. And you can get a confusion of voice and not speak with tongues, or either you can get the real speaking of tongues and still not be right. Paul said, though I speak with tongue of men and angels, I have not charity, I'm nothing. You say, well, if I could go out here and lay hands on the sick and they get well, I'd be all right. Jesus said, many will come to me that day, say, Lord, have not I cast out devils in your name? In your name have not I prophesied, preached, have in your name I've done many mighty works. Then I will confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Coming some other way.
Amen.
Let it sink deep now. Coming some other way beside God's appropriated way. The blood. Adam come out with just as good a covering, just as fundamental as he could be. But it was the wrong thing. And today, people have churches they join, put their name on, go to reform, stand up and take the communion and do different things. Just as religious as it can be. But still, that isn't the way. That isn't what God said. Then, upon the basis of the shed blood, Adam and Eve had a road made back home again to fellowship with God.
Amen.
It was used all down through the ages. All down through every age, it was used. Job. The oldest book in the Bible, back to our scripture reading. He used it. The book of Job was wrote before Genesis was written. The book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. Now, of course, Moses wrote Genesis several hundred years after. But Job, now the only way that he had to come to God for fellowship was through the shed blood of a lamb and a burnt offering. And one time God had blessed him and he'd become a great man. He had riches piled up, camels and ox and sheep. Oh, what a great man he was. And everybody bowed down to him and said, Job, oh, you're an example. Then Satan, the accuser, come up and said before God, and God said, have you considered my servant Job a just man, a perfect man? There's none like him in the whole earth. Think of it. None like him in the whole earth. He said, sure. You got a hedge around him. And that man's got everything, good health and good strength and plenty of money and plenty of everything. Sure, he can serve you. But said, let me have him a few minutes. Said, I'll sure take him apart. He said, I'll make him curse you to your face. Now notice. Oh, I love it.
Amen.
God knowing the heart. Job had only one way, that's to fellowship. Through the shedding of the blood, he had talked to God. He knew that he was. God had confidence in Job because he had fellowship with Job.
Amen.
Oh, God. May the grand tabernacle see that today. The only way God can have confidence in you is not because you do something with your faith, do something, but when you have fellowship.
Amen.
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 Fellowship. Great Baptist revival's on now. I heard a Baptist preacher say the other morning at the Churchill Downs, there'll be more Baptist members out at the Churchill Downs than will attend the Baptist revival. That's the truth. Why? Because the Baptist church is let out. They become Baptist by members. They become Baptist by joining church. They become Baptist by a baptismal pool. But if they had fellowship with their Maker, the presence of God, to talk and commune with Him would be so much greater treasures than the things of this world. They never have to worry about them going to such places.
Amen.
You don't have to bother about that. If a man ever comes into fellowship, amen. You could tell me what a great guy Brother Neville was. How fine a man he was. If I just heard, that's all right. I'll believe it. Oh, sure, I'll believe it. But I'll never know personally until I fellowship with him a while. Until we set out the table together, look across the table and lay our hearts out before each other, and our spirits begin to blend together.
Amen.
Then I about know what he's made up of.
Yes.
And until you might hear of Jesus by preaching, you might hear your mother say he's wonderful. You might hear a minister say he heals the sick, and he might have sent his power forth and healed you. But you'll never know what it is until you sat down once with him.
Amen.
In fellowship. And your spirits blend together, bearing record with each other. That's your sons and daughters of God. Then old things pass away. You don't have to worry about the world no more. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who have fellowship with him through the blood.
Amen.
The fellowship. Now, God had confidence in Job. He had fellowship with him. And he knew that Job could trust him. So he said, all right, Satan, you go on. He's at your hands, but don't you take his life. You do anything else to him. So Satan, good at his office, away he goes, and he kills all of Job's children. I want you to notice a little thing. Job kind of had a pre-thought of that, I believe. Did you notice? When his children, all of them, got together one day, they had a great big banquet. That's where you usually get in some trouble, going to these big parties. The office will throw a big blowout. You'll go down on Christmas Eve, as Billy Graham said in the paper the other day, and get right good and drunk for your first time. You have to let vent to your soul. You've been pinned up so long, so you just have to get out and let your soul go a while. You just have to go out and have a lot of good time. Kind of release yourself on a vacation. Brother, that shows you've never had fellowship with Christ. If a man or woman has ever had a real divine taste of fellowship with Christ, I'd rather have it than all the vacations and things in the world.
Amen.
Sure. If you want to give me a relax, let me feel Christ. Let me talk to him a little while my burdens roll away.
Amen.
All done. No.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Have fellowship with him. So God know that Job had tasted. David said, taste and see the Lord is good.
Amen.
Just taste after him once and see if he is good. It tastes like honey in the rock. Now, the great fellowship. So Satan comes down, but before he come down, Job said, now my children's out on a party tonight. I wonder if we could have more fathers and mothers like Job. Parents. Said, my kids are out on a party tonight. They've called in some of the worldly neighbors. Now, perhaps, maybe, they might sin. Oh, my. If mothers done fathers more of this, they wouldn't have any juvenile delinquency. Kids wouldn't be running the streets like they are. See? Said, now, peradventure, if they might sin, I'm going to offer an offering for each one. That if anything does happen, they'll have a bloodshed way to come home by.
Amen.
Oh, my. I'll offer it for them. So here's for John. I'll offer sacrifice, God, for John. Now, if he happens to stray off the road down there, the Holy Spirit hasn't come yet to lead him. So if he does stray off the road, Lord, I'll make him a path here.
Amen.
Oh, my. Mary, she's down there tonight. So, Lord, if she does stray, I've raised her right. But if she does stray, I'll make her path by this bloodshed way back. God, give us some more of those old mothers at nighttime praying for their kiddies like that.
Amen.
The backbone of any nation. All right. I'll make them a path. So, after a while, the wrath of the devil come down and killed them, everyone. Went out and killed all of his sheep and all of his cattle. And everything he had, even his own health, failed. And he broke out with boils and set on a sheep with a crop scraping the boils. Everything he had was gone. Here it is. Look. What if he only had intellectual faith then? His reasonings would have said, when Belzar and all of them come down and begin to say, now looky here, Job, I want you to reason this thing out now. Now looky here, it shows that you're wrong. Your whole theology is made wrong, Job. Because, did you see, God turned his back on you. You joined the wrong church. You see, Job, look, everything's gone wrong. But Job, if that's all he would have had, if that's all he could have thought of, his own mind would have told him, reason it out and said, I believe they're right. I believe they're right. But, amen. Job had fellowship. Upon this one thing that I have talked to him.
Amen.
I've come his provided way. I've come with a way to shed blood, and that's what he requires. And I've talked to him, and my soul lives in him.
Yes. Amen.
There you are. Fellowship. Nothing like it. Quit your formal worship and get into fellowship with him once.
Amen.
Stop this going to church on Sunday and saying a little prayer every night before you go to bed and really get out and come into fellowship. My, you'll hurry up and wash the dishes so you get back to fellowship again.
Amen.
Reading the Word, talking with Him. That's what we need. That's what the world needs today, Christian friend. That's what you need. That's what I need. That's what the whole world needs, is back to fellowship. The fellowship with him. Knowing, Paul said, the fellowship of his suffering, bearing persecutions with him. You know, Paul was a man who had suffered with Christ. And when that slave over there had run away, I like that. Paul had borne so much persecutions, so many things of Christ. So when that runaway slave run away, Paul said, wrote back to his master after the slave had become converted. He said, don't treat him as a slave anymore. He said, treat him as a brother. said, if he owes you anything, charge it up to me.
Hey.
When I come, I'll pay you. See, he'd been so in fellowship with Christ in his suffering till he knew what it was to be an outcast. Do you know what it is to be an outcast?
Amen.
He knew what it was to fellowship in his suffering, so he knew how to sympathize with others. That's the reason Christ became human, that he might know the groans of sickness, that he might know the heartaches of disappointment, that he with us might have fellowship together, for he's been partaking of life like we have, of disappointments and heartaches and sickness, for he bore our sicknesses and our troubles in his own body. Fellowship. Notice now quickly, we've come to the close of this fellowship talk. Now Job had fellowship, and what a marvelous time it was. And so God could not, Satan rather could not shake Job away from this fellowship. So his wife come out the last resort. Satan said, I'll get into his wife and I'll make her. The kids couldn't do it, so losing all of his riches couldn't do it, losing his health couldn't do it. So the closest thing to a man on earth, or should be, was his wife. So he took his wife and he come out there and she said, Job, look how you look. Belshazzar, some of them must have been right. Why, you must belong to the wrong church. You must be all mixed up, Job. Maybe you've been an error. Why, looky, why don't you just curse God and die? Look at you, we could join a better church. He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. He knew where he stood. Not with some mental theology, not with some intellectual faith, but by a fellowship with Christ through the burnt offering, the blood.
Amen.
He had worshiped God. He said, thou speakest like a foolish woman. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There you are. That's a worshiper in fellowship. That's the man who's really talked to him.
Amen.
Then you know what you're talking about. If you just took something else, and these are fine, all these other things are all right, I have nothing against them, but that's still not the basis. Don't build up on that alone, intellectual faith. Come back to the basis here, get it in here, and then worship with him. Talk with him, fellowship with him. Then build on these other things. Bring these other things into that foundation. But you're trying to bring these fundamental truths up on a foundation that has nothing to it. It's like putting Brother Woods here somewhere in the building as a contractor. Well, what good would it do him to take on an old building that's worm-eaten, the termites and eat the building down, that's rotten to the foundation, and he go out and get some of the best lumber that he could find? Good, dry, seasoned redwood. Dock it on the house. Go out here and get paint that's recommended by the highest paint company in the world. He said, look here, preacher, I can show you that this is the real, genuine redwood. I say, yes, Brother Woods, that's right. Look here, here's a seal of approval that this is the best paint that can be put on a house. That's right, Brother Woods, but your foundation is wrong. It's got to come down.
Emma.
That's what's the matter. Reading the scriptures right, preaching the gospels right, but your foundation's wrong.
Amen.
Tear out your mental conception of things and get God in your heart.
Amen.
By the shedding of blood, and then build from there. Your wood's all right if you got it on the right foundation.
Amen.
There you are. Just don't be angry with me now. It may cut a little bit, but this is true.
Amen. Amen.
This is what helps you.
Amen.
Now notice, get back to the right foundation, to the fellowship. Now how are we going to get in fellowship, Brother Branham? What brings us into fellowship? The shedding of the blood. It wasn't Eden. It was over here with Job. After Eden, now let's bring it down to one more place or two, and then we'll hurry and close. Now listen close. Here's how you get into this fellowship? How do you get it, Brother Branham? How do you ever get into this fellowship? Through the shedding of the blood. Not from some experience, no, sir. Not from some mental emotion, no, sir. Not from some bodily exercise, no, sir. Them things are all right, as good as they may be, but yet that's not the foundation truth. Leave that set over here to one side till you get back here, right? Back here. Till you get to the altar and all the old things pass away.
Hey.
A peace that passes all understanding comes into you. You can hate no more. You can envy no more. Until something that makes you love the worst enemy you ever had.
Amen.
Not imagination. Something that will keep you from talking
Amen.
About the neighbor that persecutes you.
Hallelujah.
Something that will make those who love those who despitefully use you.
That
will make you pray for those who are indifferent and ugly towards you.
Amen.
That's the foundation. When the sealing angel crossed through the country, he was commanded to put a mark upon those who sighed and cried for the abominations done in the city. I say this with reverence now and with respect. Don't get mad at me. Angry, rather. But what if the sealing angel crossed this nation today? Where would he find man so deeply consecrated to God for the sins of this crumbling nation till he cried day and night for the sin? Where would he mark the church that fast and pray and long, Lord Jesus? Where would he find that person? We went off at your education. We went off at your great fiery sermons. We went off at your Hollywood dress and fanaticism. The churches must be so big. It must be plush. There must be crucifix everywhere. There must be pipe organs. Those things are all right. But we put all our thoughts to that and left the real thing off.
Amen. Help us, Lord.
The Pentecostal people that went after initial evidence, speaking in tongues and shouting and something, that's all right. But you left the real thing off. Farce proved that you can't love God and hate at the same time. Bitter and sweet water won't come from the same fountain. You can't have speaking in tongues and divine healing in the church. And still envy and strife and malice and hatred? You can't do it. It won't mix. God will pull it out as sure as the world.
Amen.
Got to come back. That's what happened to the church. You say, are you against speaking in tongues? And it's no, sir, I'm fired. It's God's Word.
Amen.
When I see where the church went off on a bunch of fandangled stuff and it's never come back, never has recognized yet, because they do these things in malice and hatred and strife, mixing the same in oil and water won't mix.
Man.
See what I mean? Let's come back. Let this little unit this morning get the brand tabernacle purpose in their heart. We're coming back.
Amen. Amen.
We're going back to the foundation. God created me a right kind of a spirit. Created me a love, a peace that passes all understanding. And Almighty God, from there build me then. When I see anything going wrong, let me go back to the foundation and start again. Tear off the boards and come on back down again. Let's be built right, because it will only cause, no matter how high you build, it will be a heavier fall
Amen.
When you fall.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, people. Now, Israel, when they come into fellowship with God, there was only one place of fellowship with God, and that was in the tabernacle. In the tabernacles were the bleeding sacrifices going all the time. The people, God never promised to meet with the people anywhere else but under the shed blood. Think of it. I'm going to let that soak a minute now. We're getting ready to close. Look, God has never promised to meet any man upon his merits, upon how good he is or how good she is. He's never promised to meet them there. There's no fellowship with God upon your own merit. The only place there is fellowship is under the shed blood. From Genesis to Revelation, it's only through the blood. Innocent substitute to cover the guilty, penitent sinner. Only the blood. Now notice quickly, Israel went to the building, they shed the blood, and in this building was the only place that God would meet and fellowship with the believer. In the building, that's where the shed blood was. The lamb died at the altar daily. The blood went on, the black smoke hung over the tabernacle, and God could not see the sin, so the people went beneath the blood and had fellowship. Now watch. Over in Exodus, about the 19th chapter, we find out when the children of Israel were starting to take their journey. Give me your undivided attention for a minute now before we close. God said to Moses, He said, I want you to go out there and take a heifer, a red heifer that never a yoke come upon, and I want you to take her and slay her. And then I want you, when you slay her, let Eleazar the priest stand and witness it. And when he does, while the heifer's dead, go strike his fingers in the blood and put it up on the congregation, up on the place of the worship, 7 times over the door like this, 7 times over the before the ark, the public worship place, and then take the heifer and bundle her up and burn her. And take her ashes and mix it with scarlet wood and hyssop and cedar. Oh, I wish we had time to go and see what those are. Scarlet wood and hyssop and cedar. You'd find out Jesus wasn't died on a dogwood tree as they say he did. Notice, then burn it all together and lay it up in a clean place on the outside for a waters of separation. And every time that a person's out of fellowship, he must come and have this water of separation sprinkled on him. Then he can come into the fellowship. Outside of that, he can't come in. Now watch how beautiful this is now before we close. First, the red heifer, the color red, means something. Now, red to us means danger. It's a bad sign to see red. Means stop, it's danger. And also, red in the Bible is a covering. Red is an atonement. Red is a safety. You remember when the harlot Rahab let the spies down on the red string to safety? Always safety under red. Now the blood is red. Now look, you take the scientific research and you take red, a piece of a red goods, a red piece of stuff, cellophane, and look through, add a piece of red, and red through red looks white. Try it. Take red and look through red, it looks white. While we do wrongdoings are red, though your sins be like scarlet, red, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, God looking through there, red through red looks white. They shall be white like snow.
Amen.
See? Not through your something else, but through the blood, the only place that He can fellowship. Outside of that, your own righteousness, He'll never see it. Your good works, He'll never know it. Until you come beneath the blood. Then He sees you as His own beloved son or His daughter. Red through red looks white. No matter what you've done, sinner friend, when God looks to you, your confessor sins is being on, and God looks to the blood of the Lord Jesus, He sees you snow white. No matter what you've done, He's looking through you through Christ's blood. You're redeemed. Precious thing. God will never condemn you no more. He can't condemn you. When God made the first man, He made the heavens and earth. And when God stood back on the old creation and looked up on it, He didn't look up on it to judge it. He looked up on it and said, how good it is. He admired it. Oh, my God! You see it? He looked and seen how good it was. Everything is perfect. The trees and everything, the man, the woman, it was all perfect. He said, it's very pretty good. But now Satan perverted that. But if God could not condemn His first creation, how much more is it impossible for Him to condemn His second creation?
Amen.
When you are created anew in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You can't do it yourself, no matter how much you want to. You can't do it. It's a gift of God. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that comes to me, I'll give him everlasting life and I'll raise him up to the last day.
Amen.
And when God has born you anew by the Holy Spirit, He can only look upon you as a perfect work because He did it Himself. For you are His workmanship. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord Jesus.
Oh, my. I feel like shouting like the Methodist. Think of it. You are God's workmanship. He did it by sovereign grace.
Amen.
Not because you jumped, not because you went to church, not because you turned a new page, but because God, by His mercy,
Amen.
Brought you into Christ in the fellowship and looks upon you as a perfect work of His own.
Amen.
Why? I brought Him. I presented Him to the blood, and there's nothing wrong with my work, He said. You're God's workmanship.
Praise
now, just a moment. Now, how did they come now? They come up and they've done anything wrong? This waters of separation must be kept in a clean place. Oh, wish we could deal on it a little while. A clean place. The waters of separation is the Word. Paul said over in Ephesians over here, said, for He has washed us with the water of the Word. See, the waters of the separation, the Word, preaching the Word, separates you. You hear the Word and say, I'm wrong. I better quit this. I'm playing church. I better quit that. See, that's the waters of separation and should be kept in a clean place. Not a cigarette-smoking preacher. No, sir. Not a preacher that's running around over the country running with other women and things like that. Not a church that practices free love and all these ungodly things and goes to baseball games and has big entertainments and social dances in the church. It's to be kept, the Word of God, to be kept in a clean place.
Amen.
A clean place. That when the wayward man comes by, he can come into a clean place and be sprinkled with the waters of separation.
Amen.
Then what is it? When he's teaching the Word, now the right waters. Now, if you're sprinkled with the wrong waters, they'll say, come join this church. This is a fine church. You should put your name on the book. Oh, we got it. Glory to God, we have it. That's the wrong waters. The right waters of separation. What was it? It was speaking of an innocent substitute who died for a guilty sinner. The red heifer died, which is the type of Christ. And remember, never a yoke on its neck. Christ was not yoked with any organizations.
Amen.
He didn't prove with them at all. He wasn't yoked up at all. Nothing. We had a little time to go on that. All right. But it was made of water separation. See, it doesn't brag on a church denomination. It doesn't have nothing to do with it. It only speaks of a dead substitute who died in your place.
Amen.
Not us people, not our big church, not our organization, but what was it? Of an innocent substitute who died in your place, which was Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
Then, bringing the Word to us, then the waters of separation is put on the person. Now notice quickly before we close. Now the next thing, the blood off of this innocent substitute was struck seven times like that as a public testimony. Seven is God's complete number. Seven church ages. The seven last church ages. Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Laodicea, the church. Every church age must come through that same shed blood.
Amen.
Now, The man's come. He sits in the congregation. He's heard the word. I watch him on fellowship. He can't come into the building. That building is the only place of fellowship. The only place they could come is in this building to have fellowship with God, because God only met them in there. Now watch close now. What a type of Christ. Today God has promised the fellowship to the Methodists, to the Baptists, to the Pentecostals. He's promised the fellowship in Christ Jesus. That's where your fellowship is. You can have fellowship with your man. Mankind to join. You can go join the moose, the elk, or the odd fellows. Those lodges, they're all right. They're fine. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the fellowship with Christ, the Eternal One. Now, then when the blood has been sprinkled, the waters, the washing of the water by the Word, the Word went forth and said, well, look, I've joined church. I've done this, but really, I haven't had that experience. What is it? It's the waters of separation. Well, I thought I was all right about joining Mother's church. That isn't it, brother. No, sir. Someone died for you. That was Christ Jesus. You must accept Him. Then you receive that. Then the next thing, you start towards the fellowship. Here you go. Well, Brother Branham worked in our fellowship in Christ, in the temple, the tabernacle of His dwelling. How do I do it? First, you walk to the door. You've heard the Word. Then you walk to the door. You've got a mental faith. You say, yes, I heard the Word. I believe it. Now, before you can enter into this place, there's a blood veil hanging there for the cleansing. And you must recognize that blood as an innocent substitute through the preaching of the Word, brought down the veil of blood. In there you see that someone died in your place, and you throw down all your earthly possessions, all your fandangle ideas, all your dancing, your immoral living, and all the things that you've thought up in your own self, but you go to church and your new rules, your Ten Commandments, your non-meat eating, and all these things, you lay them aside, plunge wholly into the blood, and say, Lord, wash me and cleanse me.
Amen.
Then the Holy Spirit inside this blood cell where the fellowship is draws you through the blood of the cleansing into the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit, and then you're in the fellowship.
Amen.
Old things have passed away. Then you're in the fellowship by the Holy Spirit, drawing you into a relationship with God. And then there's only, here it is, only one meeting place that any man can ever meet and worship today in true fellowship. That's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Do you see a church? I've been lengthy this morning. Didn't think it aim to stay this long. But I hope you see what I've tried to present to you.
Amen.
That no matter what foundation, you may be ever so good, you may belong to a fine church, that's all good, nothing against that. But have you ever come down to the fellowship yet with Him? Coming in, only way you'll do it is through the blood of His suffering. Then you come to the place and hear the Word and say, yes, Jesus died in my stead. I believe that. Now, I've got to be cleansed from all this temper and all this stuff that I go on with. Now, Lord, take me through the blood. Here I am. And after a while, the sweet peace that passes all understanding will come into the human heart. Then you look up there and say, now, I'm living in the fellowship.
Amen.
Wherever I go, whatever I do, I'm in this wonderful fellowship. Peace that passes all understanding. The Holy Spirit's living in me. I live every day. If death comes, what can it do to me? Can't harm me. Your soul longs for something out there. Daily you're looking for it and seeing where it's at. Your old tabernacle here aches and groans and squeaks and oh my, as the old birth pains are coming up on it. That's right. What does it mean? This old lump of clay someday is going to fade away. But there's something inside of that little lump of clay there that's trying to get out, trying to liberate itself. Oh, what is it? It's a little bird called the soul.
Amen.
And the only way it can free itself one morning, the clay will break away and will drop and rise and ever sees the everlasting prize. When the soul goes to meet its lover down with both arms out, the only thing that's keeping it here is this little rackety bunch of clay. And the only way that God can preach the gospel today is through that lump of clay. And that's why it's keeping you here. And that's why you sick people have a right to come to Christ. Say, Lord Jesus, if you'll only heal me now, I'll go. I may not be a preacher, but I'll talk about it. I'll do everything that I can.
Amen.
You are the vine. I'm one of the branches. Now, the vine doesn't bear fruit. The branches bears fruit. Not the vine, the branch. The vine only puts the energy into it. The gospel can be preached by Christ if you open up yourself and be a branch that will bear forth fruit.
Amen.
Others can see Christ in you by your testimony, by your life, and the way you live. He's the energy, but you're the show picture. You're the walking Bible. God bless you, friend. I trust that you'll take these broke up words this morning as have been weak in my body and so forth, that you'll take them into your heart and realize that I brought them from my heart.
Emma.
That get on that foundation back to fellowship with Christ. Then you'll never have to run from here and there and over yonder and around. You're in constant fellowship with Him all the time.
Amen.
Shall we bow our heads a moment? Sister pianist, if you'll come up here. Every head bowed. While we're thinking of this, I want each one of you to take this deeply in your heart now. Am I really in the place I should be? Have I really peace that passes all understanding? Have I really the fellowship that I really need with Christ? Do I talk with Him? Is my heart burning to talk every day? When I miss my little time of prayer, does my heart just yearn to get to Him? If that's not your state, friend, come today, won't you? Only thing you'll have to do is just accept Him. Christ said in His Word, "He that heareth my words," that's what's been preached this morning, "believeth on Him that sent me," not in your mind, in your heart, "believeth on Him that sent me, has everlasting life," right then, just as soon as he believes, "shall never come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life." Our Heavenly Father, as we're nearing the close of this message of fellowship, we thank Thee because we can sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and fellowship on the Word while the Holy Spirit bringing it to us so lovely and sweetly, strengthening our feeble beings and making us of His product. We thank Thee for it, Lord. Have You today, Heavenly Father, made a new creature out there anywhere? While the Word's being going forth, have they come to the waters of separation? They're entering now into the blood where they feel something pulling into their heart. Have You made a new creature this morning, Father? Only You can do it. If You have, Father, may they give a recognition of it now. While we have our heads bowed, someone feel that God spoke to you and you want to become His servant. It ain't necessary if you do nothing in the world. I don't know one look but Christ alone and myself. You're not raising your hand to Brother Branham. You're raising it to Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, I truly believe. God bless you, brother. Someone else raise your hand. Say, God bless you, brother. Someone else raise your hand. Say, I believe now upon the basis of the shed blood. God bless you, sir. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. God bless you back there, my brother. Upon the basis of the shed blood, God hears my hand. From this hour henceforth, Lord, I believe something has happened in my heart this morning. Give me a new start. Right now, I believe it. Something has peace in my heart. What do you say, He's done that? No man can do it except the Father draws him. And all that will accept Him has everlasting life. Right then, the very minute you raise your hand, God sees it. Is there another before we pray? God bless you, lady. I see you. God bless you, brother. I see you. God bless you, brother. Coming up on what? up on because I want to go to church, because I want to turn a new page. No, because something has spoke to me this morning. And I feel that I'm up now into the blood cell. Something's happened to me. I really believe different this morning than I ever believed in my life. Right now, I believe that I have become a son or daughter of God. And I'm raising up my hand to you, God, not to Brother Branham, but to you, God, that I now accept you as my own personal Savior. Something tells me in my heart that you're my Savior, and I now accept you in my heart. I'm going to be a different woman or a different man from this day on. I just know it. God bless you, sister. Will there be another? Some dozen more hands that went up right here in this little group of people, a couple hundred people. Would you raise your hand and say, I accept it? You can't unless God tells you. Of course, you'd be doing something wrong. But people who just put up their hands a few moments ago was wiping their eyes. What's happened? God's own word has said so. He that heareth my words, that was you, and believeth on him and sent me. How can you do it except he reveals himself to you? And because he's done it and you've raised your hand, God says he has everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation, but pass from death to life. Never face the judgment seat no more. You're already judged. God judged you, pulled you in, you accepted it. Take Christ as your Savior. Today you're saved now because you've believed on him. Is there another before we pray? All right. While we bow our heads quietly. Now, Heavenly Father, I don't know nothing else to do. I have asked that this word would go forth and would find its anchoring place. Many, many raise their hands today. They believe you. And they're asking now, Lord, for grace and pardon. And the very minute that you spoke to them, they realized it. They know that you would give them something in their heart. Something not emotional, but it was something that was burning in there. And they accepted it. And you said because they did it, you accepted them. So now they are saved upon the basis of your word. Everyone that believed it with all their heart has right now everlasting life according to the infallible word of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that. Now we pray that you'll give them long life. Make them of thy servants, Lord. And be accepted in the beloved, and may they be filled with the Holy Ghost now. Every one of them. Sealed into the kingdom of God until the day of redemption. Now while we have our heads bowed, those that raise your hands, would you stand up just a moment? Just stand to your feet. Ever who raise your hand, God bless you. Just stand up. That's right. Everyone that raise your hand, just stand up to your feet. Just remain standing a few moments, if you will. All that raise your hand. Or just remain standing. Now will the audience raise your head? These are your fellow citizens of the kingdom. Look around who it was accepted the Christ. Shake their hand. Will you standing somebody next to them? Reach over and shake their hand and say, God bless you, my brother. Each one. You're making a public testimony now, friend. Jesus said, he that will confess me before man, I'll confess him before the Father and holy angels. Right now, immortal life dwells within you. We're thankful for you. God bless you, giving you long life and the greatest of God's blessings. May you always remember this wonderful fellowship in your heart through Christ Jesus. God bless you. Now you may be seated. Now, if I have quoted to you the scripture right, listen what God said here in his word. Listen what Jesus said here. He that heareth my words, that's the gospel being preached, and believeth, his heart, on him that sent me, hath, that's present tense right now, everlasting life that can't die. And the right, now you might not know Greek, but the right Greek translation is has Zoe, which means God's own life, has Zoe, and shall never come into condemnation, but pass from death unto life. Here's what happens then. If you die now, according to the Word of God, you go out of the existence of people who can see you into His presence.
Amen.
And there you live. You can look back. You're not in the world no more. You're in another world. And then what do? You're like those souls on the altar saying, Lord, how long will it be? See, you'll never be an angel. You wasn't made an angel. You were made men and women.
Amen.
So you're longing to come back. Of course, you can see then when you get up here and say, well, I see what it's all about. I know why I had to die there. I know why that's taking place. You never die. Jesus said, He that heareth my words and believeth on Him and sent me has everlasting life. You can't die. You can't die. You die to the mortal part, but you're alive here. Your spirit's right here with Christ. Then you say, Lord, how long is it? Because you wasn't made to be there. You wasn't made that because you're a human being. And you're longing to come back into this body perfect again. And He said, just a little while longer until your fellow servants there have suffered like the martyrs did back there. Then you will return, coming down, after you go out of this body out of cosmic light and petroleums and what you're made up of. You go into the fourth dimension, out of that into the fifth dimension, then the sixth dimension. Then God's in the seventh. You're right under His order. Then when God lets your spirit loose, it picks up what? Comes out of the sixth dimension into the fifth, cosmic light. Come out of the light into petroleum, out of petroleum into the senses. And here you are back on earth again, a brand new person, not old and broke down, never to be sick. Your hair will never turn gray. You'll never be wrinkled. You'll never separate no more.
Ever.
You'll never die. You'll never be hungry. You'll never have a weary. You'll walk with your loved ones and shake their hands and eat, drink, build houses and inhabit them and live forever and forever in the presence of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
That's what you got this morning because you heard the Word of God. Isn't it simple? Preachers make it so complicated you have to come and take probations and all these other things. It's not. The Bible said it's so plain even a fool shouldn't hear. Just accepting it, believing it, something happens in here, and God moves in with His Spirit in that little hollow place there in the heart. Now that's soul. Now you believe the Word of God, and you have everlasting
Amen.
Life. Now what you need now, if you've never been baptized with water, is to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then God has promised to give you the Holy Spirit the very minute you're baptized. You can do it right now without even being baptized. Then peace comes into the heart and everything. Then you can really shout like a Christian should shout. Then the speaking with tongues and then the gifts of the Spirit begins to manifest behind a pure heart, a real foundation. Watch what happens then. Then that's real Holy Spirit. But if you just come up on a little emotion, it'll never work. You'll go right back out and hate. You watch your hearts now, how you long to read the Bible, how you want to get alone to talk with Him and say, oh, Father, oh, I just love you. That's the fellowship, see? That's what we need. Don't you think so, friend? God bless you. Now there's some sick people here to be prayed for. And if we haven't got cards out or a thing to bring the people to put them in line, so I'm going to ask you, I believe I see him lead a man in just now and set him out here. There was a man I sat between two brothers there this morning. And I was sitting there and know that they're both needing healing. Then back there in the back, I seen someone else come in that I know was very sick. Now, if you believe me to be his servant. Now, look, what is this? In the Garden of Eden, the fellowship of God and His masterpiece, this human being, was perfect. God was right along watching Adam. Now, if the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from sin, what is God again? Right here in fellowship again. Here He is. We're in fellowship. That's Him that you feel in your heart. That's Him that made you forget all the troubles that's gone away. That's what did it. Now, that same Lord Jesus that died for your sins has died for your sicknesses. Now, you can never, no matter what takes place, you can never, never, never get anywhere with Him until first you believe it in your heart that He died for your sin or your sickness. Is that right? Now, there is such a thing as gifts. That's right. And God, by His grace, has given a gift that you could stand here and it would tell you who you are, probably where you come from, what about it, and where your sickness and what your outcome is going to be. That might be so. But it would be based upon what? Upon nothing but the Word of God. See? Upon your personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. Now, don't you believe that His Spirit can move in this building and heal every sick person? My sick brother, you believe that? You believe that there, knowing that you, the only thing you can do is either accept Him or die, because cancer would kill you. You'd have to die. See? And don't you believe that Jesus Christ will make you well? There's only one hope that you have, and that's in Him, isn't it, brother? And that's the only way you can ever be well. Now, doctors just give you up. They ain't nothing they can do about it. Cancer is going right on through, and it's going to kill you. Now, that's all they can do. They're honest men. They've looked at you. Miss Morgan, are you standing back there somewhere? I thought I seen you come in a while ago. Mrs. Morgan. Here, Turner, can you look around, sir? Just kind of look your head around. Stand up, Mrs. Morgan, if you would, just a moment. There's a lady nurse, one of my first cases, about 12, 14 years ago, was dying here, just had a bunch of skeletons and bones, and she was a cancer case. Eat up with cancer all through her. Look at her now. Wouldn't you like to have health like that again? What happened? She believed the very same thing that I'm asking you to believe. And she wouldn't, no matter, you couldn't make it anything else. The doctor comes and says, well, just about another few hours or another few days, she'll be gone. Others in here sits a lady here a few Easters ago, right here playing a piano, dying with cancer. They're just everywhere in here, see, dying with cancer. Now what happened? Did everyone come get healed? No, some of them believed up here in her head. But some of them looked up to God and they come down here. I don't care what the doctor says or anybody else says. It's so. See? It's so because it's here. Can you believe it like that? You believe that He is going to let you live, my brother? Would you serve God all your life if He had let you live? Would you do it? With all your heart? And you believe that Jesus died to make you well, my brother? God bless your heart. I believe you will receive it right. Frankly, I believe you have now, see? Because just the minute you believe, that's when you receive it. Now, how many with Him that's sick will stand to your feet just a minute? That sick will stand with this brother? Just stand up to your feet. God bless you. Just stand up. Just remain standing a minute. That's right. That's right. Now, will you stand, my brother? All right. Now, I want some well person standing near them, put your hands over on them. Will you do it? Somebody turn around and put your hands on these people. That's right. Oh, what a time. Great position. I'm responsible for the Word. I tell you by the Word of God that Jesus Christ, the one who died to have this fellowship, is right here now. He's in the building right now with you all. That's Him. The thing isn't touching one another or touching me or touching some preacher. It's touching Him.
Amen.
See, it's touching Him. Do you believe now that your faith has reached up to a place that you feel in your heart you're going to be well? If you do, say amen. Now, bow your head. Now, I want each one of you to... I'm going to repeat this prayer, and you pray it from your heart. Now, you just say the things that I say. Dear God, I come to Thee now, believing that You gave Jesus to heal my body and to save my soul. I accept Him as my Savior, and I now accept Him as my healer. your servants, the doctors, has done all they can do for me. But they're just man. And they can't go no farther. So I bring my body to you, the great Creator, the one who made me.
Yes.
You know every part of me.
Yes.
And I believe now in my heart that I'm going to be well. Because I'm standing believing.
Amen.
And on the basis of the shed blood,
yes,
I believe. And in my heart, something happened.
Yes.
But I know I'm going to be well.
Thank you,
and I give thee praise for it now, Lord. And I'll serve thee all my life.
Thank you.
And give my body.
Thank you.
In my time,
yes,
to your service.
Lord Jesus.
Lord, I believe.
Amen.
Now with your head bowed,
amen,
keep that in your heart. Keep that confessing.
Amen.
Lord, I believe. Right now, what's the matter? You're healed.
Thank you.
The Holy Spirit, that truth, that faith has moved down into your heart. Now I'm going to pray for you. And the thing I'm going to do is to pray and cast away that evil, that doubt that would hang around you, and make it leave you so you can go out of here real thankful.
Amen.
Now, Heavenly Father, I come to Thee as Your unprofitable servant, but I'm remembered as my fingerprints is on this altar here. I'm remembering the years that I've served You here. I'm remembering the angel who's met me here. I remember his words to me.
Thank you,
Father. And what you would do if I'd ask and get the people to believe. And I'm coming now, Lord, to this evil's power of doubt that would hover around these people to make them disbelieve in any manner. I'm coming through the blood of the Lord Jesus. I'm coming by that welcome mat that's laid out to me this morning.
Amen.
Bringing every one of these souls like I did that little Indian girl.
Yeah.
Right up to the white throne of God. Standing under and watching the holy angels flying with wings over their face.
Amen.
And I'm presenting them to Thee this morning, Lord, and applying the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ upon them. And I condemn every devil, every devil of doubt, every darkness, every shadow of death. I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Come away from these people that they might return and be whole and well. Grant it, Almighty God, through Jesus, the Son of God, I pray it. And say it that it shall be so. Amen. Raise up your hands now and say, thank you, Lord, for my healing. Look at there. That's the way. Thank you, Lord, for my healing. Now somebody raise up, shake their hands, and congratulate them for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's over. Now look, I've seen them holding a man back there. I've seen a man here. Sir, you won't have to be led out. You have strength of your own. God gives you strength. Oh, I fell.